All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good afternoon, guys. It's Joe Varnador, and welcome to the Thursday call, February 25th, 2016. We had a little bit of a snafu today on the call we did at 1 o'clock today, Eastern Time. And for some reason, even though I clicked the recording button, something happened and the call wasn't recorded. So what I want to do this evening while I'm re-recording this is I want to hit the high points today that we covered. So it won't be a full hour, but we had a lot of great content today as far as on the entitlement schedules and how to explain what to our investors as far as what how their investment works inside of a buying a either a partial or a full purchase on the on a deal. So as we go through this, Stu and Tina had a great question, and the question was, you can see on the screen there, we attended a REAPS meeting, which is the Real Estate Investment Association there in Seattle, Washington. And they're working with a gentleman who is very detail-oriented and loves to work off of spreadsheets. And he's looking at investing his money in a property or a fourplex versus investing with a note. And when he puts this into a spreadsheet, he finds that, well, as the question said there, he says he's only making 2% a year versus making the return that we talk about them making as far as an 8 or a 9 or a 10% yield. The simple answer to this question is there is a parallel difference between simple interest and an amortized loan. Simple interest is always going to be different than an amortized loan. So let me pull up an example here, and this is exactly the same example that I used this afternoon on the call. So let's look at, well, hold on just a second here, guys. Let's look at a deal that I had plugged in so that we could kind of talk through this and see what it looks like. So let's say that we have we've sold a house, and we sold it 2 years ago for $90,000. The house is still worth $90,000, and our borrower puts $10,000 down, and we create, we finance this house for our borrower. We do seller finance, 6% interest for 240 months, and our monthly payment, principal and interest, the payment that we would receive, is going to be $573.14. So we've got an $80,000 loan amortized for 240 months. At 6%, giving us a monthly payment of $573.14. The borrower has paid 24 payments on time, and there's 216 payments remaining on this 240-month loan. And the unpaid balance is now currently $75,596. So if we were looking at selling this loan or selling a portion of this loan to an investor, then what we would have to show them is, okay, so if we wanted, you or I wanted to make a 15% yield on an investment, then we would have to, it would look something like this. So if we sold 60 payments to an investor of $573.13, the pay price at a 15% return to the investor, the pay price on that would be $24,091. So if we were to sell, again, 60 payments of $573.14, then we would sell those payments at a 15% yield, and the investor would write us a check for $24,091. That $24,091 check is going to give them the right to receive 60 payments of $573. So if we look at that as far as how we input that, let me move over the screen here. We input that, it looks something like this. So here's the balance of our loan. There's 216 payments remaining at 6% interest for 573. If we sell those 60 payments of 573 at a 15% rate, then, and we're selling that as a partial, what our partial investor would be getting in return would be $573 a month times 60, or a total of about $34,000. I know this is off just a little bit, but I'll show you why it is in just a minute. So we've got the investor is writing a check for $24,000, and his return is going to be $33,687. If we look at the entitlement, first of all, let's look at the full AM schedule on a loan. So here's what the AM schedule looks like. And by the way, amortization, if we look at amort, it means to kill something. And with an amortized loan, we are paying a principal and interest payment on a monthly basis, and eventually it will pay off. But we also know that the first part of the loan, in most cases, the first two-thirds of the loan is going to be interest. And it'll be about two-thirds of the way through the amortization period that finally the interest and principal will equal equilibrium. And actually, after that period, you will be paying more in more in principal than you would be in interest. But you can see that there's 216 payments left. And when you receive a payment for $573, $195 of that is principal and $377 a month is interest. And here's the balance that we talked about on the loan. So if we look at what we're selling to our investor, we're selling 60 payments of $573. So we're selling 60 payments of $573, and it starts out here. For those of you that haven't looked at an entitlement schedule when you're looking at selling a partial and you have those questions and you're just like, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if the borrower stops paying? What if the borrower defaults? What if they pay it off early? And what if my investor says to me, well, Stu, Tina, Joe, whomever, what if the borrower stops paying? What happens in that case? Well, all of you would have seen or should have seen by now, and if you haven't, go to the website, go to Performing Loans, and you can look at a partial purchase agreement. And I know we went over one a couple of weeks ago, and the verbiage in that as far as the remedy if a borrower, number one, if it pays off earlier, and number two, if the borrower defaults, what happens? Well, there's only two things that can happen. So let's say that the borrower refinances the loan after 24 months. So after 24 months, what your investor is going to receive, what your investor is still entitled to, is going to be $23,119. Now, if we were to look over at the amortization schedule, we would also see that the balance on the loan is $70,633. So if your borrower refinanced this loan or just wrote a check, the balance on that loan at the end of 24 months, even though you've received 24 months already, the balance on that loan is $70,633. So that's what the payoff would be. Of that $70,633, your partial buyer would be owed $23,119. Well, Joe, that's less than the $33,000, but understand that they have received 24 payments of $573. So their return is still the same. On the other side of that, what happens if 24 payments into this 60-month partial, the borrower defaults? Same thing. Two things that can happen, guys. This is what your partial investor is still entitled to, $23,119. So the remedy is, number one, you can read the verbiage in the partial purchase agreement. Basically, it says that you're going to write a check to the borrower or to your partial investor for $23,119, and you're going to take the loan back and you're going to foreclose on it and you're going to resell it again. Okay? Or if the investor, the person you sold the partial to, for some reason you can't come up with the $23,119 to pay the partial investor off, the other part of that is that your investor that has bought the partial has the right to foreclose as well. Now, what happens with that is simply this. That partial is, they're going to, if the house sells for $70,000, as an example, at an auction, that partial investor is still really only due the $23,119 plus whatever his or her costs would be to do the foreclosure. So let's just say the even number is $25,000. So the partial investor is going to be made whole at that point, and in their entire investment, if it's $25,000, and then if the house sells for $70,000, well, the difference between the $25,000 and the $70,000 is going to go to the guy that owns the back end of the loan. So either way, it's going to work out. All right, so for all of you that have had that question and it's burning in your mind, guys, go to the Power Quoter on your on the website and you can play with these numbers and you can put it in, but you can show this entitlement schedule shows your partial buyer what they're entitled to at any given time during that period of time they've bought the partial, they've invested in the partial. Okay, so I hope that makes sense. So, and if not, we can talk about it. If you listen to it, send me an email or we'll talk about it on next Thursday's call. So the second part of that is simply this. So back to Stu and Tina's question. So there's certainly a difference between simple interest and an amortized loan. So this is what we talked about on the call this afternoon. So if Stu and Tina loaned me $10,000, and it was 10%, a 10% interest only loan. So they're going to loan me $10,000, and in a year I have to pay them back the $10,000 plus 10% interest. Well, that being the case, 10% of $10,000 is $1,000. So if I didn't have to pay them a payment, an interest-only payment, at the end of a year, I would pay them back $11,000. $10,000 plus $1,000 in interest is $11,000. If Stu and Tina said, Joe, well, we want you to pay a little something back every month, so you're just going to pay an interest-only payment for 12 months, and at the end of 12 months, you have to pay us the $10,000 you owe us. So in that case, if we took the $1,000 and divided it by in interest and divided it by 12 months, I would pay them $83 a month in simple interest. And that $83.33 or whatever it is would total $1,000. So they've received a 10% rate of return on that in simple interest. What the people some of you are talking to, they're equating simple interest in an amortized loan, and it's totally different, because with an amortized loan you are getting principal and interest back every month. Principal and interest back every month. So if we amortized, and guys, you can do it on your Power Quoter, or you can get your HP 10B or HP 12C financial calculator out. And if you amortized a loan, it was a $10,000 loan, and you put that in as the present value, and you plugged in 10% interest, and you amortized it over 12 months. The monthly payment on that loan would be $879.16. Now, if you multiplied that $879.16 times 12, you would get a sum total of $10,549.91. So when you get that $10,549.91, instead of you making $1,000 in simple interest, you're only making $549 in an amortized loan. And here's the reason that that's different. With an amortized loan, you're receiving principal and interest every month, and the interest is being charged on the unpaid balance. So if that person that is thinking of simple interest is saying, well, if I loan somebody an interest-only loan, I'm going to get $1,000 back at 10%. And that's true, but they're waiting the year to get their $10,000 back. With an amortized loan, they're getting part of that back on a monthly basis. So if we were to look at a schedule on something like that as well, and we can certainly plug this in here, and let me just do that real quick. So you guys bear with me. I didn't do this on the earlier call, but let me just put in some quick data here, and we'll see what that looks like as well. So let's say that we've got $10,000 and $10,000, so just bear with me just a minute. And we've got a $10,000 here, $10,000 here, and we've got a principal amount of $10,000. And this is going to be at 10%, 10%, and it's going to be amortized over 12 months, 12 months. Here, your monthly payment is $879.16. $879.16. Number of payments made. Well, it doesn't really matter, but if we have 12 payments, we've made one payment. Well, we've made no payments. So there's been zero payments made, and there's 12 remaining. Let's just do it like that, and let's look at how it amortizes, because that's all we're really trying to figure out. The unpaid balance at the beginning of that is $10,000, and it's $10,000 over here. Okay, so let's just go over here and then look at the AM schedule on this. There's a full AM on that loan. So as we look at this, here's the AM. So the first payment, out of the first payment that's made of $879.16, $795 of that is principal, $83 of that is interest. So every month that we pay this, and that makes the balance $9,024. The next month it's $802 in principal, $76 in interest. So they're receiving about $800 a month back. And for those of you that have heard Ryan talk about in any of the stuff he's presented, Ryan always talks about yield drag. And what happens is if that investor is not investing their money back as they receive this, they're getting a yield drag. So yes, at the end of the day, this is going to zero itself out to where the last payment is $871.89, and then the money's paid back. So if an investor wanted to lend their money out simple interest all the time, short term, they could certainly do that. But they're looking at something that is long-term versus something that is short-term. And they're getting back, in an amortized loan, they're getting back a lot of money there. Every month, they're getting their money back. So they're getting their money back over a period of time versus getting a lump sum back. And they're paying interest on the entire amount of the loan over a given period. So I hope that kind of expands on that, and we could take this to one other level, and let's do this real quick, so just bear with me. So what if we had an $80,000 loan, and we did the same thing over 12 months? So we've got $80,000 here. And we can kind of get a parallel here as well. Okay, so we got 80,000 Sorry, we don't want to do 800,000, so we want to do, and we're going to do it at 10%. We've got 80,000 here. Okay, so we're going to amortize this, fully amortize it over 12 months. So we've got $80,000. We've got 10% interest. We've got 12 months. The monthly payment on that loan would be $7,033.27. So 7033.27. And there is zero payments made, and there's 12 remaining, and the unpaid balance is $80,000. Okay, so if we looked at that loan over a year, and Stu and Tina is going to loan me $80,000, and I'm going to pay them simple interest on this at 10%, I would pay them $800 a month, which would be $9,600, and at the end of the year, I would pay them their $80,000 back, okay? But we look at the amortized loan. Let's scroll over here. Here's the amortized loan on that. So of that $7,033 payment, the first month, they're getting $6,366 back the first month. And $666 in interest. And you can see that it amortizes itself out to zero. Now, if we were to simply multiply 733.17, I believe is what it is, or 13, times 12 months, instead of Stu and Tina getting $8,000 in interest and their $80,000 back, since the loan was amortized and the interest is charged on the unpaid balance, the total payback on this loan is $84,397. So again, instead of them getting $8,000 in interest, they're getting $43.97. Again, they have to invest this money here every month. They're getting a big piece or a big chunk of their money back every month. So guys, when you're dealing with somebody that just can't get that through their head, or they're saying, okay, so should we invest in a duplex or a quad, and we rent this for $1,000 a month? Well, $1,000 a month really isn't $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month, they've got to pay the print, they've got to pay there, and if they're paying cash for it, it's $100,000. They're renting it for $1,000 a month. Well, out of that $1,000, they've got to take the taxes, and they've got to take the insurance, and they've got to take whatever maintenance they have to do on that. So they're going to end up with something less than $1,000 a month. But most importantly, they're going to have to manage the property as well, unless they want to pay somebody $100 a month or $1,200 a year to do that. And it still isn't a passive investment, because if the roof has to be replaced on it, and you've got a property manager, the property manager is going to call you, and they're going to say, well, we need to replace the roof, and it's $8,000. So we got to write our check for $8,000. Versus a total passive investment being buying a note that they're going to receive the same amount of the same return on that. It's just simply simple interest versus an amortized loan. So I hope that what I've gone through here over the last 30 minutes or so, I hope it kind of makes sense. And again, I'm sorry that I think we've pretty much covered it as far as what I covered this afternoon on the call as well. So I think we've pretty well covered that. But that's the difference. And when you've got somebody that's trying to say, well, I'm only going to receive, in this case, this $80,000 loan, I'm only going to receive $4,397 in interest, versus if I loaned it at interest only or simple interest for 12 months, I'm going to get $8,000. But again, their money is out there for 12 months. So they've got to wait the 12 months to get their $80,000 back. In this case, they're getting a big percentage of their money back on a monthly basis. So hope that clears that up. If you have any questions, we'll certainly take care of them on the call next week. Or if you've got a burning thing and you need to email me, just email me at joe@noteschool.com. There was a couple of other things that we did run through on the syllabus today, and I just want to kind of take care of those for you very quickly. We talked with Wallace Wong, and Wallace was looking at a note from Colonial. And the question was, so would it make sense to purchase a note that is performing but underwater? I'm working on a note that has an unpaid balance of $44,000, and my price is approximately half of that. So the property has a value of $22,500, and he can buy the loan for $19,000. So the question was, even though this is underwater, is it still a good investment? And the answer to that is, yes, it's still a good investment. Simply put, the simple reason is this. Getting the rest of the story from Wallace on this is that it is a duplex. One side is being rented for $550 a month. Now, if both of those were rented, both of those sides at $550 a month, and we looked at a cap rate on this. This for this borrower on this, and by the way, it was amortized for 360 months, and the monthly payment is roughly $400 a month. So the borrower on this, the owner of this property, you know, they know that it's the property value, and this is in Gary, Indiana, by the way, and this was an area that was hit very hard. If we looked at the comps, it was done when this BPO was done on this property. If we looked at that, I promise you that most of the comps would have been non-arm's length transactions, meaning simply they were, most of them were REOs, foreclosures, or short sales. So based on that, we've got a low value on this, but what we do have, the benefit here, is we've got a borrower that this loan has a 37-month pay history. Okay, so the borrower's got a 37-month on-time pay history. So the fact that they've only got one side rented on this right now for $550 a month, well, that is covering their principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. If they rent that other side for $550 a month, they've got a $550 a month or more positive cash flow on this property that they only owe $44,000 on. So if we were receiving $1,000, or we could consider this worth $100,000 based on the rent being $1,000 a month, or 1% of the value of the property. So that's a pretty good return. So my advice to Wallace on this was simply this. Is it a good value? Well, the worst case scenario is if the 323 months that are remaining on this, if they paid all of those payments. If Wallace had to foreclose on this and take the property back, it would be very easy to sell this and back himself out of this deal, or walk himself out of this deal on the other side. And one of the other things we did on this was this, and I'm going to put it into my quoter here real quick, and we'll have a look at it. And you'll see what we had talked about today on the call. So if we put in the data here, so we're saying, let's just say that it's worth $50,000. Doesn't really matter. We're just trying to get to the bottom of this. Let's just say it was 50. We're just punching in numbers here. 50, not 500, Joe, but 50. Okay, and we have the beginning balance off this loan was $45,000. The interest rate was 9.99, which is very close to 10. It's amortized for 360 months, 360. The payment's $399 a month. And there has been 37 payments made, and there are 323 payments remaining, 323. balance is about $44,000 on this. We're using some round numbers here. Okay, so here's what we looked at when we were kind of going over this with Wallace today. So what would we need to sell on this to get our money back and to put some money in our pocket? So if we sold a 90 payment partial to an investor at a 10% yield, that would be $25,162 is what you would sell a 90 payment partial for. Okay, I said, okay, we could offer our investor a 90% 10% yield. What if we sold that at an 8% to an investor? We sold it at 8%, then we could sell the 90 payment partial for $26,938. Wallace's buy price on this is a little over $19,000. So Wallace would put approximately almost $7,000 in his pocket and still own, well, what would that be, guys? 323 minus the 90 payments. Wallace would still own the remaining 233 payments on the other side of that. So this is one of those deals that if you will play with the numbers, you can have a very good outcome on something like this as well. So again, is this a good investment even though it's underwater? If it were a non-performing loan, probably not. But since this is a performing loan with a pay history of 37 months and it is the rents on this would be $1,100 a month on each or $550 a month on each unit, yeah, I think you're probably good. All right, so we had one other quick question here, and then I'm going to wrap this up for you and get it on there. Last one was that Joe LeCount had sent in a deal, and Joe got a letter from his servicer that simply said this: Joe, the county auditor has rejected the county auditor has rejected the deed for recording on this property due to the value listed was less than two-thirds of what the auditor or the county appraised the property at. And so what Joe is having to do is sign an affidavit of fact saying that, yes, Joe did indeed pay only $26,000 for this loan. Hence, that the county is showing a value of about $36,000 on. And I checked with our resident expert on this, and Charles Mangan. And Charles said, Joe, he said, look, he said many counties will reject a deed for the consideration amount if it is less than what the county has it appraised for. Just a way to get more transfer taxes out of the purchaser of the note. So I kind of gave an example of this. So if I were to sell, if Joe Varnador were selling a car to Joe LeCount, and the car was worth $20,000, and I sold it to Joe for $20,000, but Joe LeCount said to Joe Varnador, hey Joe, so I don't have to pay a tremendous amount in sales tax, Can you just give me a bill of sale saying that I only paid $5,000 for this car? So if it was 6% sales tax, so it would be $5,000 times 6%. So the sales tax would be what? $300 versus on $20,000 at 6%, the sales tax would be $1,200. So it's a pretty good savings there. So now Joe has this bill of sale for $5,000. When he takes it over to register the car in his name and get a new license plate for this, the people at the driver's at the tag place may not catch this, but when it goes to the state, and let's just say this is in Florida, when it goes to the state of Florida and this one's pulled, and they look at the value of the car, which they do, they have a percentage of those that they do, they're going to pull that out and say, hey, there's something going on here. Either this wasn't an arm's length transaction, or somebody's lying. This car is worth $20,000. Why would it be sold for $5,000? Well, you would have to sign an affidavit saying, I truly sold the car, attesting that you did, and pretty much swearing under oath. So that's what happens when you've got a transfer like this. The county is just saying, hey, is something not right with this? We'll accept it. We're going to have you sign an affidavit saying that you really did only pay $26,000 for something that the house is worth $36,000 on. So that's what we have there. So if you see it, that's what it is. Next week, we're going to have Tracy Rui. Tracy is a very, very knowledgeable lady. She used to be a vice president for Metropolitan Mortgage and Securities, and I'll let her tell your story next week. But Tracy has Diversified Investment Services, which is a note company based out of Orlando. And Tracy, one of the things that she does inside of her business is she builds websites for people that are in the note business. So Tracy's going to come on and she's going to give us a demo on what she can do for you guys as note school students, give you a great price on it. I don't even know what that is, but I know that it's a great price. On a website that is customized for people in the note business. Tracy's been in the note business for 30, 35 years, and she's not that old. So we're going to have Tracy on next week, so you'll want to see that. If you haven't registered for Martha Speed's Mastermind or the Summer Summit, go to the website, and there'll be links there to register for both of those. Guys, sorry we had to do it like this. I think we covered pretty much everything that we covered today on the call. So again, if I missed anything or you have an additional question, joe@noteschool.com or content, and I can certainly get those answered for you, or we'll go through it next week. Have a great weekend, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Happy hunting, and talk to you all soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.